Good morning, brethren and sisters. Greetings in the very precious name of Jesus this morning. Certainly a blessing to be here and share in this worship service with you. It was good to sit in the Sunday school discussion and be inspired with what Jesus has done for us. It's good to listen to our brother admonish us that we, from time to time, need to have God working in our hearts and in our lives, and the purpose is to keep us close to Him. You know, it's not a good feeling to be pruned. It's not a good feeling when we know that God is working in our life and in our experience, and especially when it's things that we wish would be different. But so often we lose sight of the fact that God loves us and God wants us closer to Him. And it's His way of working in our experience to accomplish that. And we thank Him for that this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I'd like to preach on two, we might say, just very familiar verses, two somewhat symbol verses. It's an invitation of Jesus. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through verse 30. The invitation of Jesus Himself, the words of Jesus, where He simply says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." The title of the message is this morning, in question form, "What does it mean to be yoked with Jesus?" I don't know what your experience has been in life and working with horses, or probably maybe none of us here have ever worked with oxen. I grew up in a community where we had a neighbor man just across the back way from us. His fields came up almost against the backside of our property, and he farmed with two horses. He had two large Belgian work horses. He done most of his farming with them, and he would yoke those together. A yoke to the children here this morning is simply, well, years ago in Bible times, when Jesus wrote this, they were very familiar with yokes, and I suppose those were probably wooden yokes that would go around the necks of animals, a piece that came down around the top and one that came up around the bottom. They would have their heads stuck in the hole that was in them. And talking about being yoked together, it was a piece wide enough where two animals could stick their heads through the holes, as it were, and were put together that they could not separate, and they needed to learn to work together and pull together. Going back to my story about my neighbor man, he had these two horses, and he would yoke them together and would plow with them. And I can still recall he was a man that he liked when his animals worked for him, but apparently his one horse was just a little bit not quite as much of a willing worker as what the other one was. And what I remember about him was being in the field and just hollering at the one horse different times, telling him to move, to do his share of work. And he had his way of doing that. Well, Jesus is saying here, He's giving us an invitation, and He says that He wants us to be yoked with Him and learn of Him. And Jesus is telling us that what He has to teach us is not all that hard. And that is so true this morning. When I think about the gospel, and I think about, yes, even our Sunday school lesson this morning, we tend to make the gospel hard sometimes. I don't think Jesus intended for the gospel to be hard. But I believe the reason that we tend to make the gospel hard, and the reason it becomes hardened to us or hard to us sometimes, is because of what our brother was talking about in the devotions. A part of the gospel of Jesus is to bring our will in cohesion and yes, cohesion with his will, that we agree with Jesus. And that is so often where we find ourselves struggling and making the gospel hard, as it were. I like to, this morning, look at the message in two parts somewhat. First of all, I'd like to think about some reasons why Jesus wants us to be yoked with him. And then I'd like to think about some ways that we yoke with him, how it's done. As I think about reasons to be yoked with Jesus, I think about the Christian life and the fact that real joy, real peace, real happiness in our Christian life is really in our acquaintance and our working relationship with Jesus, to be yoked with Jesus. Of course, we know that relationship begins by, first of all, our new birth experience and acknowledging our need of Christ in our hearts and in our lives. And then it grows through our exercising that life, through Bible reading, through prayer, through worship service. I believe this morning, I trust this morning that as we have gathered in and you've been a part of this worship experience, I trust this morning already has been a time when you have grown in your journey, when you have already attached to something this morning, some truth this morning that has blessed your heart and you have received that maybe even have decided this morning that, look, there's some things in my life that I want to do a little different. Maybe there's an area in your life that stood out to you this morning. You said, you know, the power of God is available. It's there. What's holding me back is myself. And I've been blessed in our Sunday school discussion this morning and realizing that we in ourselves are nothing. It's all in what Christ has done for us. And Christ has done everything for us. The power is available for you and I to live victorious this morning and to live for him. And here in Matthew, Jesus is saying, come, I want you to experience the power. I want you to experience the joy. It's really not that difficult. Do not make it difficult for yourself, is what Jesus is saying. Turn back for just a moment in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Having said that, I'd like to bring a few verses and this very thought into the Apostle Paul in writing to the church, the church at Corinth, was reminding them of this very fact. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then Paul says this. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, dear ones, so many times we approach life and the things that we face in life because of myself, because of how it feels to me, because of how I want it to feel, because how I want the shoe to fit my feelings and my heart and my agenda. But Paul is saying here that's really not what the Christian life is all about. He's saying the Christian life is really all about the Master. It's really all about Jesus. We are here only to serve. We are here only to yoke with him, not so much for my benefit, but for his benefit. We are created in the image of God. And I believe God created us in his own image and made us in his own likeness for that God wanted fellowship with us, and God wanted us to be his gospel in this world, as it were, today. Before we leave this, I'd like to bring verse 3 into focus, because I believe it's a very important part of being yoked with Jesus. If we're not yoked with Jesus, the truth of the matter is this morning, we are yoked. You and I are yoked with something, someone. We know that the option is either to be yoked with Jesus or we're yoked with Satan and his program and his plan and devices. And the Apostle Paul was reminding the Corinth church here that if your gospel is hid, if the gospel of Jesus is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It is hid to those who need the gospel, in whom the God of this world, in whom Satan hath already blinded their minds, and they don't believe. And he's saying that you have the gospel, you have the light. The light that is now shining through the darkness and is bringing light, is bringing hope, is bringing a future for those that are lost. It comes through you. Now, before we leave this passage, I'd like to look at verse 7 yet, because here's where our struggle comes in. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's right. We are human. We fail. We make mistakes. And that's not all bad sometimes. It's only bad when we don't acknowledge that we made the mistakes, and when we don't acknowledge, we don't pick up and we turn around and we do better in the next opportunity that we have. You see, again, I believe this is because the gospel isn't about us. It's about Jesus. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's right. It's in our frail, humanity this morning that we have this treasure in. But he says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, God wants the glory. Jesus wants the glory. And it is only Jesus that deserves the glory this morning. Jesus gives us this invitation. He wants us to accept his help and find our way to a blessed life of rest, a life of peace, a life, yes, rest for our hearts, our minds, our souls, our emotions this morning. It's all embedded in this earthen vessel that we live in. And this morning, we live in a real world. We live in a world that is full of pressures. And what you and I do and how we relate to these pressures and to life as it comes our way is going to depend whether the Lord Jesus is getting the response from our life, is going to get praise and honor that he alone is worthy of, or whether we are trying to somehow hoard that up for our own life and our own experience and our own pleasure and so on. And so this morning, Jesus is giving this invitation, come unto me, come unto me. There are many more reasons why Jesus gives us that invitation this morning. Secondly, I want you to notice the character of the people that Jesus gives this invitation to. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The people that Jesus is inviting to enter into this yoke and into this relationship with him are a people who are laboring. Jesus said just a few chapters before this, He made the comment that there's a people that need a physician, but he said it's not the people that are whole that need a physician. He said it's the people that are sick that need a physician. And I believe that Jesus is inviting and is saying that the people that are labor and are heavy laden are possibly a people that are sick. Now, I know in the context of this scripture, Jesus is really giving this invitation to people who are sin sick. People who are lost, people who the gospel is hit to. And Jesus is just simply saying, come, bring your sin, Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll bring healing to your experience. I'll give you peace in your heart. This morning, I believe that we can make some other applications to it as well. There are other kinds of sickness that come to all of us. And I call them sickness because I think of things that, okay, coming back to my thought of life and the pressures that life brings our way, we sometimes start to have fear in our hearts as we look at life, we look at circumstances, we look at world conditions today, and we can allow fear to set into our hearts because of things that are happening, and yes, even just right here in the United States in the election year again, and you look at the options and the things that are there, and men are fearing, worry, discouragement. They tend to want to make us sick. You know what, dear ones? These are tools that Satan would like to use, that Satan does use in our experience, to keep us from having the relationship that God wants us to have, to discourage us and to make us look around and to keep us coming to the source of power, to the source of peace, the source of the one who can feel our burdens, and the one who has the answers to our burdens, and the one who can meet every need that any one of us in this room can have. Satan is aware of that, and Satan knows where to make his inroads into our lives, into our hearts. He knows each individual. He knows your weaknesses. He knows my weaknesses. And again, going back to my thought that we are yoked, if Satan can get us in the yoke with him, he'll do his very, very best to keep us there as well. And so this morning, Jesus is saying that those that are laboring, those that are heavy laden, those that have some sickness that they're carrying along. Another way to say this might be, Brother Cliff talked about and challenged us in the devotions, with the baggage that we're carrying along. Maybe it's the baggage you're carrying along this morning that you need to bring to Jesus. He wants it all. He wants everything this morning. He wants us to bring it. That baggage becomes labor. That baggage becomes, like Brother Cliff said, a load to us. It needs propped up. It's the things that become heavy laden. It's the things that keep us from having a peaceful night's rest. It's the things that keep us from maybe having the joy of the Lord in our heart during the day as we go about our duties and we're frustrated and we have things on our mind that we just can't shake off. They become heavy, they become wearisome, they become burdens. Jesus is saying, just bring him to me. I have the answer. Just humble yourself and bring him here. It's not hard to learn of me and my ways. I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Bring it here and avail yourself to that. The third thing I like to think about as I think about reasons is that Jesus invites us to take on his yoke and learn of his ways, because that is the only place that peace and rest and joy in the Christian journey can be found. Dear ones, this morning, outside of realizing that we need Christ and we come to him with, and I like to say this morning, there's nothing that sometimes we as humans think, well, that's just a little thing in my life. And we tend to carry that little thing with us and think that it's almost too little to bother Jesus with. Or that it's maybe just a little thing and I can handle that little thing. And you know what? When we carry that little thing with us, it tends to grow. It branches out in other avenues in our life and in our experience, unbeknownst to us. It grips us more than what we realize. You see, that's the part of being yoked with Satan. Satan knows how to accomplish his end and his goal. And so this morning, there's nothing too small. There's nothing that Jesus doesn't want to understand and hear from us, that he does not understand and that he wants us to bring, no matter how small it is. Well, those are just some reasons why we need to stretch out our hands and come to Christ and take the invitation. I'd like to spend the rest of the time this morning thinking how this is done. And first, for the first one, I have simply written down that it happens by having the heart and mind of Jesus. Go with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to read a few verses. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but with lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of his made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as he man, he humbled himself and became obedient." Obedient unto what? Unto death, even the death of the cross, a cruel death. Dear ones, this morning, I believe that by having the heart and mind of Jesus is the only way that we can yoke with Jesus. You see, Jesus was a man. We understand this morning that Jesus was God. He was a part of God. But you know, Jesus was just as much man. He was just as much human as what you and I are. He took on a form of a man. He had the same temptations. He had the same struggles in life. The Bible doesn't, well, it does. It doesn't say so much about, but we gather that there were times when Jesus was burdened, when Jesus was carrying the load, and he went off by himself and he prayed many, many times. He needed to connect with God again. He needed to come back to God because there were burdens, there was loads, there was things that Jesus himself was carrying. I believe the struggle for Jesus was just as real as it is for us at times. But the Bible tells us that he had the mind of God. He had the mind of Christ. And he had a desire to follow through with the things that he knew that God wanted him to follow through with. And that because of that, he needed to humble himself and come into the form of a servant, it says. That's what God wants from you and I this morning. You see, the Christian life isn't about myself again. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about humbling myself and taking on the very mind of Christ. Humbling ourselves and saying, "Lord, here's my life. Take my life. Do with it what you want to. It's your life, really. Make it yours." That's how we yoke with Jesus. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Too many times we're of this mindset. Too many times we have the opposite mindset of this. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this. He says in verse 1 of Romans 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." In other words, those who have the mind of Christ, those who walk after Christ. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." In other words, Christ's law, Christ's ways makes me free from my own carnality, from my own life, my own desires. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Let's jump down to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, when we put on the mind of Jesus, when we put on that mind, there is life, there is peace. And that's what Jesus is saying back in Matthew chapter 11. Come, I will give you that life. I will give you that peace. I will give you joy. Just avail yourself to it. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See, that's where our struggle in this earthen vessel comes in. And so many times we fail to lay down our will and take up the mind of Christ and follow Christ in the ways that he would. And we miss out of the blessing that Jesus is talking in this invitation of taking the yoke and finding the rest and the peace that we can. The second thing that I'd like to suggest this morning that is a way that we make ourselves available to this is by submitting ourselves into God's will for our life and accepting his grace. I'm just going to say to make the best of the circumstances as they come our way. Simply submitting. We talked about obedience in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I'd like to read several verses. You don't have to turn there to you from 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 18, he says, servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only for the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, and suffer for it. Now you say when we're doing well, we shouldn't be carrying the burden. We shouldn't be carrying the load that Jesus was inviting us from. But here Peter is talking about this very thing. He says, you're already doing well. You've done that which was right. And yet God, I believe it goes back to Brother Cliff's thought of pruning us. When we think we are doing what is in our power and ability to do. He says, when ye suffer for it, take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Submission, obedience, follows right on the heels, comes right along with the package of having the mind of Christ. It's simply what Christ done for us. And so that's another way that we live our life and we walk in the things that we think that God is calling us to walk in, and yet we find ourselves struggling at times. Jesus is saying, bring that. I want to hear your story. I have the answer. I'll fill the needs. Thirdly, and I'd like for you to turn with me to this scripture. I'm going to go back to an Old Testament scripture for my third point. In Jeremiah chapter 6, and I'd like for us to look at verse 16. I believe another way that we bring the avail ourselves and allow God to work in our hearts. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, it says this, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. What was the prophet Jeremiah trying to say here? He was saying that God has a standard. God has a law. God has, yes, things put in place that we need to adhere to and walk in. And I bring this into focus today because I believe as a church we are challenged sometimes in our thinking, possibly more than, yes, in our practice, by what is happening in our society around us. And I just want to note this morning and encourage us that the way that God has ordained is the way that God wants us to walk in. The precepts that he has ordained do not change. Our God is an unchanging God. And our society is changing many, many things. When we think about things like marriage, God ordained marriage to be one man, one woman. And God has not changed in that, but our society is changing that. Today we hear about gay marriages. Yes, two men, two women getting married to each other. Divorce and remarriage has been among us very prevalent for many, many years. But you know what? We start growing accustomed to these things in our communities, in our neighbors. And I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves again that these are not the ways that God has. They are not the old paths. They're not the ways that God has ordained for us. You think about abortion. We live in a world today where euthanasia is another something that is becoming more prevalent. Just instead of allowing the older generation to grow old and have God have his way, just put them out. They're a liability in our society anymore. They cost money to have us around. Why let them suffer? Why let them live? The best part of life is over. Our world, our society is condoning those things today. We have a new undertaker that just built a new, yes, he's a rather new funeral home in our community, built a new facility, and a big part of the facility there is a cremation part of it. Cremation is another thing that our society is doing, and for various reasons, people are entertaining that. The Bible teaches different about those things. Dust thou art, to dust returneth. And God, I believe, expects us to respect these bodies and to bury them properly. Why would we take the body, the house of God, the temple of God, and cremate it and dispose of it in such a... Yes, if you know anything about cremation and you know what actually happens, why would we entertain those thoughts at all? Those are some things, but it's our world around us. And you know what, dear ones, I know we don't do those things, but we can get accustomed to thinking about those things. I believe Jeremiah's saying, you know, God has the old paths, the trite ways, the ways that have been proven, the ways that God put his blessing on. Walk in those ways. And dear ones, it's the way that we yoke with Jesus. It's the way that we yoke together with him when we appreciate the things that God has put in place and we promote those things and we hold them forth in our families and in our churches and in our communities. We need to do that. Well, in the fourth place this morning, somewhat the third part maybe, but my fourth point is that I like to think about the rewards of coming to Jesus with our heavy heart. If you have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 11 yet, I want you to notice that twice Jesus says, two times in these verses he says, I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest for your souls. Jesus isn't saying that I may give you rest. I could possibly give you rest. He says, I will give you rest. The same God that we talked about in our Sunday school lesson, who has the power to keep us, has the power to give us rest. We will find rest. The promise is we will. When we come to Jesus and we tell him about our struggles, we tell him about our needs, we bring the burdens, we bring the things that we're laboring in and the things that are heavy laden to us, we bring them to him, and he has promised that he's going to give us rest. The problem is, dear ones, too many times we are scared to really yoke with him. we're scared to maybe, well, it comes back to this thought of our faith gets, we sever that cord, that faith that we have, because somehow I look at life and I look at the struggles and somehow I need to, maybe I think I brought this upon myself and somehow I need to find the remedy. And a part of that is true. But too many times we look at the wrong places for the remedy. It's a matter of just giving up and humbling ourselves and coming back and connecting with Jesus. You know, the same Jesus who calms, who could calm the storm, the same Jesus who has the ability to move mountains, the same Jesus who worked many, many miracles as he traveled his earthly journey, that same Jesus wants to give you and I peace and joy in the journey here as well. I'd like to close this morning, and I want you to turn back to a story we find in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. I'm going to read this story, and I'd like to draw some parallels from it yet in conclusion this morning. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came talking about Jesus to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teareth him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming. And he asked the father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." I see in this little story here, I see a number of people who were laboring, who were heavy laden. First of all, there was this lad who had the dumb spirit in him. And this lad was laboring because he needed the cleansing of Jesus in his life, is what he needed. But he was at the point, he was yoked with Satan in a way that was so strong that he could not help himself any longer. He needed someone else to help him. And therefore, there were those around him, the father especially. I see another individual here who I believe, because of the son's condition, was a father who was laboring. He was heavy laden. We gather that as we see the father's response. And the way he responded when Jesus told him that he can help if you can believe. And the father said, "Well, I believe, but help my unbelief." And just various responses here, I believe we see that the father was laboring. The disciples were laboring. This lad was brought to the disciples, and the disciples had tried to cast out the spirit. and they couldn't cast it out. They were wondering, what's wrong here? Why can't we? And so this whole group of people who was laboring, who was heavy laden, who was burdened because of the condition of this one child, this one boy, comes to Jesus. Jesus gives the invitation in verse 19. He kind of rebukes them in a way. He says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" And then he says, "Bring him here. Bring him to me." The same invitation, the same Jesus. "Just bring him here. I'll show you what I can do." Dear ones, this morning, that's just a picture of what Jesus wants to do with the problems, with the burdens, with the load that you're carrying this morning. Just bring it to me. Bring it here. I'll show you what I can do with it. And we see what he done. Verse 29 really stands out to me in this story. When all was said and done, the spirit was out of the boy, and the boy was alive and well. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Why couldn't we? Why couldn't we?" Do you ever ask that question? Why can't I? Why can't I? Dear ones, the answer for us isn't any different than it was for the disciple. This kind come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. And what I take in that is Jesus is simply saying, "Listen, I want to know that you mean business. When we get to the place where we're willing to give up and forego some of our physical comforts, our physical needs, we are so determined that we want the answers to the burden that we're carrying, that we want the burden to be gone, and we give up. We come to the bottom of ourselves, and by prayer and by fasting, we can find the answers." But you know what? We need to come there. We need to get to that place. This morning, I want to close with the encouragement to you. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what life is bringing your way. But I know life is real for all of us. And I know that we're all in earthen vessels. And I know that the tempter is the same. But so is Jesus. The same Jesus that could heal everyone else can heal you and I if we but let him. Let's kneel for prayer.